Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. That is Hebrews 13, verses 1 and 2. This is Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. I'm your host, Sandra Flack. And our guest today, joining us from Oklahoma, is Chris Campbell, Executive Director of 111 Project, a nonprofit that exists to mobilize the local church so that no child is without a family. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, it's an honor. We're thrilled to have you here, and we're thrilled to talk about the work that you're doing there in Oklahoma and in other states as well. So your organization is doing some incredible work, like we said, in Oklahoma, a couple other states. But let's kind of start at the beginning. What led you personally to work in this ministry on behalf of vulnerable children?
Yeah, so I started, even at a young age, being exposed to the international orphan through just my local church, traveling overseas on mission trips and getting the opportunity just to learn about, you know, families that grew up maybe a little bit different than I did in my community. And I think those early on experiences kind of put a little seed in my heart to open, you know, what God may have for me and my future family that I didn't even know what would look like, you know, at the time. And then when my wife and I dated, you know, we had some conversations that we truly did believe that, and we didn't know what our family would look like, but we knew that, God had a different idea for it potentially, and that it may not be grown through traditional means. And so God kind of planted this seed in our heart for maybe adoption down the road. But that story didn't get to come to fruition until later, and then kind of simultaneously, I had the opportunity to serve on staff at a local church and had a church member that challenged me that even for this wonderful heart of adoption, things that God had been doing in our church through adoption, there were some local children in our backyard that had no place to go. And this good friend of mine took me to our local shelter. And at the time, not long ago, there were hundreds of kids at the shelter with no place to go in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Some of them babies, to teenagers that have been there a really long time, not enough beds, kids sleeping in the hallways. And God just really broke my heart, not just for the reality of these kids, but for the reality of my ignorance. As a pastor at a church that was a thriving church in the community, I didn't know about those children in my own backyard. And really just God began to work on me that the church was the answer to this crisis in our local community and that I needed to be a part. I needed to do something.
Yeah, God got a hold of your heart. Now, before we get going too far on exactly what God started to do there, you did end up, like you said, adoption did become part of your story, but a little bit later on?
Yeah, so a little bit later on, after kind of we start getting involved even in foster care, we did continue with an international adoption from China. And so we had four biological kids, and then just really God opened some doors. It's a beautiful story in and of itself. We don't have time for today, but led us to the international adoption to China, where I traveled and done a lot of work and had a lot of friends in. And so we adopted a beautiful young girl there that had special needs according to China. She had a cleft lip, cleft palate, and walked through that process of seeing the healing story in her life, and she's now six. So we've been in this journey a little time now, but we, you know, even though we're local orphan advocates, we have a beautiful, wonderful heart for international orphan care as well.
Love to hear those God stories. So, Chris, let's talk about 111 Project. And first of all, what does the 111 stand for?
Yeah, so 111's been around in 2011. It's actually a wonderful story of some folks that were in the state working in child welfare realized that the faith community was not being engaged in the state the way that it needed to be engaged. And so 111 was created with a heart of recruiting one church for one family for seeing one child in foster care adoption being taken care of. And so the vision here in Oklahoma is there's 6,700 churches estimated, but right now we have 8,800 kids in foster care, but most of which have a home, have somebody taking care of them. But we still have about 650 children that need forever families, that are ready to be adopted, that are legally free and clear to be adopted. And we have about 120 children still living in our state in shelters. And so the heart behind 111 is that, you know, we have enough churches that if they just could bring one net family, our child welfare in the state of Oklahoma would be overwhelmed by those families. And so it's our prayer and belief that God has enough. And it's just really our heart to try to raise up, mobilize, you know, the workers. As the scripture says, the workers are few, but the reality of the workers are there. And, and it's the local church's job to advocate, lift up, raise, call out, and then support those that are stepping into this God-sized, wonderful mission.
Wonderful. So how did you get involved with 111 Project?
Yeah, so I got involved as a pastor. And so I was at my church, and as we kind of got engaged in this, heart for the local orphan for foster care, we just realized that we needed some help in doing that and found 111 to be really, really helpful. So we did some events and got some coaching from them, and it was really beneficial. And then about 3 years ago, I felt led to step out of my church role and start a local chapter of 111 to really kind of wrestle with the issues here in Tulsa. And then just kind of how the stories go in life, you know, fell into some other things and some need for some other leadership in our state and at a national level. And so took over 111 Project for the nation as the executive director.
Oh, incredible. So explain for us the work that 111 Project has done and is continuing to do.
So I think every community has gaps. And I think it's really important for all of us in the church to let the Lord reveal what those gaps are. And so for 111, it was created because of a gap, a lack of engagement of the faith community. But it also was created because of the gap that we didn't have enough foster families in the state of Oklahoma. So our main focus from the beginning and still is today is to help the state and specifically the local church recruit and support foster families. That's grown. That mission has grown over years because initially when we were engaged, the church was doing well with adopted families, but they were struggling with foster families. And so we since have expanded the mission in ways the state, you know, we've worked in partnership with the state. But then we also have realized along those lines that, you know, we have a lot of families that want to and are trying very hard to get reconciled with their children. And we believe that that's, out of anything, just as much the mission of the church to see the restoration of family, the biblical restoration and reconciliation of family. And so, especially for the last couple of years, 111 has done events and worked on partnerships with the state to see that families are restored and reconciled when that's safe and possible to do so, that foster families are recruited, providing biblical hospitality. We believe that that's a mission, Matthew 25 of the local church. But then, you know, when a child needs a forever family, we believe the right family is there for all 650 kids in the state of Oklahoma. And so we do events, we do meetings, we do gatherings. We'll host pastors at the local shelters. We like to sit down and coach with churches. Instead of the church knowing about 111 Project, we would rather the church know about the church and the community know about the local church. So we'll coach local churches on helping them try to look for ways that they're already engaged. But maybe that ministry could be expanded to include foster and adoptive or biological family. Maybe it's a benevolence program that they have that maybe they could increase the scope of, or maybe it's in their children's ministry, seeing that their children's ministry is friendly to children that come from traumatic backgrounds and they have trauma-informed care, and that they're welcoming to families that maybe look a little different from them or come from a different part of town. But ultimately that they realize that this is God's heart and they have to be intentional in maybe pursuing these families because a lot of them are in crisis and they aren't necessarily going to come to the church. They need the church to go to them.
Good point. The families may not come to the church. The church needs to go to the families. Love that. So, Chris, a huge part of the work that 111 Project is doing now is with the Care Portal. So could you share what the Care Portal is and how it works? Because that's really something every state could get engaged in.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, 111 for many years has done big scale events and big scale recruitment. You know, we even a couple years back helped the state of Oklahoma with a campaign called Oklahoma Fosters to recruit families all across the state. We saw great success. Actually, for the 1 year that we did Oklahoma Fosters, we recruited the amount of families that we actually needed as a state. One of the first times that ever happened. But walking into the next year, we had to either recreate all that same momentum or energy, or we didn't meet our goal. And the reality was that we didn't meet our goal. And so in those conversations, one of the things that we realized was a gap is that the church didn't have an ongoing way to stay engaged in any shape or form with even just the little things. And so through our state and through listening to some other ministries, we heard about Care Portal. And the idea was, what if the state could communicate to the church about relevant needs that they have, that they had vetted with their family, that the church could help with? Oftentimes, churches want to help, but they don't really know how to help or what's the best help. And so, like in Oklahoma, we'll have a church that will do a diaper drive, and that's a great intended thing to do, to provide diapers for all the kids in foster care. But the reality of it is, in the state of Oklahoma right now, we don't have many babies anymore in our foster care that need places to go. They're provided for. And then all those diapers actually create chaos for the DHS office, our child welfare office, because they don't have any place to put them. And so the idea of having a communication tool that could communicate to the church about little ways that they could help, that everybody could help, real time as the help was needed, to me seemed like too simple to not try to implement. And so that's really what Care Portal is. It's a communication platform that allows churches to join and gives a structure for the state to communicate on about real relevant needs in the community. And when and if and how the church wants to help, they can help. And so a caseworker will enter a request for one of their families on the Care Portal, and it goes out to churches that are in close proximity of that need. And those churches are made aware of that need, and then they can help, or they can potentially connect with the family and provide further relational connection and assistance through potentially a bus pass or a bunk bed or a car seat or maybe some household things that the family needs assistance with.
Wonderful. It's an incredible way to meet real needs in real time. Like you said, the needs are all vetted. So we know it benefits, Care Portal benefits children and families, and it benefits child welfare and the church. So child welfare now has a way that they can actually put out requests to meet needs that they know of, real needs. So how does that benefit child welfare?
Absolutely. I can't speak with great authority in every state, but I know in Oklahoma, the great benefit that it's provided to our child welfare workers is oftentimes when a child comes into care, they are struggling in a very short period of time to make all of these connections and put all these services in place to help these families who are in the middle of crisis. And that's a really tough and difficult job. And oftentimes what they resort to is calling multiple folks in the community, trying to navigate who has what, playing coordination instead of really helping the family, working with the family, dialoguing with the family, caring for the kids. And so how it really benefits child welfare is they can go to one place that they know that they can connect with a network of people that really do care and that have some training and understanding of their clients and are going to advocate and partner with them to help. Often these requests will help individuals that are coming out of incarceration. They will help individuals who are trying to keep their kids out of child welfare and some of the safety concerns that, you know, may seem minor to a lot of us are the things that actually can shatter a family. A plumbing issue, a problem with a floor, electric bill, you know, that we don't have safe heating or air conditioning. Those things can be things that can send families into a tailspin. And so for the caseworker to work with the family and be able to focus on the family and through the Care Portal have a simple way to communicate a need to the community, it saves them tremendous amount of time. It speeds up the process of communication for them to resolve matters more quickly. We've seen care portal requests that a caseworker has put in that 30 minutes later have been solved, problems that have been solved. We've seen things like a prayer request that's gone out for a foster placement that the state took 4 weeks to try to find to no avail. We had a story in Tahlequah, Oklahoma, of a caseworker who had worked 4 weeks to find a foster home for a medically fragile four-month-old, and in the entire 4 weeks could not find a family in the state of Oklahoma. And so that caseworker put on a prayer request at 3:30 in the afternoon on a Friday afternoon saying, hey, I'm going to have to drive to Tulsa to the city to pick up this baby that's been at the hospital, and I don't quite know what I'm going to do yet. Would you pray for me? Would the churches just pray? Well, what was surprising to that caseworker, an hour later, a church actually responded and said, hey, I think I may have a potential foster family for you. There's a family in our community from Tahlequah that's almost completed their paperwork. They're not quite done, but they're really, really close. And the mom so happens to be a nurse.
Wow.
That request got responded to, that prayer request got responded to within an hour. And ultimately, that mom was able to be certified to take that placement. And then I found out just a few months ago that unfortunately parental rights were terminated for that baby. And then ultimately that mom who received that request through an email adopted that young baby.
Wow.
And so it's all through an email. And so what the state took and failed at over a month, the local church through the supportive network in partnership with the state was able to figure out in an hour. To me, that's supernatural.
Yeah. That is. So now Care Portal also benefits the local church. How does that work?
Absolutely. So I think every church struggles with their reality of trying to get outside of the church walls in a real relevant way. I don't know one pastor that would sit in the congregation over a year and not challenge the church to reach out to their community. But oftentimes the church struggles with what are real practical, vetted ways for them to help because we're so also busy, and that's a challenge. And so what Care Portal does to the local church, it provides them an opportunity to connect with folks in the community that really need help and that the church can provide the help. And the help, just the help alone, results in significant things. But ultimately, every child welfare office says my client would benefit from a healthy community. And so I think one of the things that we realize in this work of ministry is that sometimes we intend on helping and the reality of we get helped. We get challenged by these families that are working so hard to overcome the obstacles that's faced by them. And that challenge, that hunger blesses us. It transforms us by the reality of seeing those that are overcoming and are placing their faith potentially in God and in others to see their circumstances improved. And so biggest opportunity, I think, to the church is it gives them an opportunity for connection in the community. But secondly, I see over and over again, as we minister, as we engage, especially those from vulnerable situations of poverty, we are challenged by their faith and by their overcoming and are sanctified through that process.
Tell us the story, Chris, about the two kids in a county there in Oklahoma that didn't have a family.
Yeah, so oftentimes we have children that come into care with no place to go. And I didn't understand this reality when I first started getting involved in child welfare, that when children come into care, it's a difficult situation. And the caseworkers are trying to work with these children, and they're making a lot of phone calls, sometimes in our state, 30, 40, 50 phone calls, just to hear no, for these children, no place to go. And so one specific story that I just encountered this last week, you know, this problem seems really big when we talk about it at a very high level. So 8,800 children in the state of Oklahoma, you know, 120 kids that still have no places to go. But in a local county this last week, I was there, and I was reviewing the numbers for that county, and we found out that there's only two children in that county that had no place, no family that was advocating them for forever family. And when we started talking about that, the caseworker perked up that was sitting in this room for this meeting. She said, actually, one of those two is sitting down the hallway. His name is Aaron. And Aaron's had a failed placement just recently. He's struggling, but he's a really great kid. And Aaron's brother is the other of the two. And right now, both these boys are sitting in a shelter with no place to go. because the community doesn't really know about those children. And in this small little county, one of the smallest counties in our state, there are still 40 churches that are there, that are active. Some of those churches are really small, but it's back to this belief that, you know, those churches, if they knew, if they met Aaron and his brother, I just wholeheartedly believe they could find a home for Aaron and his brother that are the best fit for him. And so this beautiful story and partnership, sometimes, once again, the church is just unaware. It's not that they don't want to help. It's just, you know, they need to connect with these kids. And then all of us need to believe that God's got exceedingly abundantly more than we could ever think or imagine for everybody involved.
Mm. And Care Portal is a way to do that. So you've seen some big results in the lives of children and families that have been served by the local church through the Care Portal platform. So, Chris, would you share with us a success story, a story of impact?
Yeah, and this is probably the hardest part of this entire talk, because one of the things that's really just amazing and overwhelming about Care Portal is I see every story. And so far in the 2 years that we've done Care Portal in the state of Oklahoma, we've seen about 3,200 children that have been assisted by the local church, served by the local church, 1,500-plus families, over $1.3 million of goods and services the church has given back. And so there's thousands of stories that come, and so it's really hard for me to pick even
yeah.
a few. But some recent ones that I would just love to share. You know, this is one personally that I got to be involved with last week. There was a family through the mom named Valerie, and Valerie's come out of incarceration, and she's struggled to keep her kids, but the state is working actively to keep her kids so that they don't have to be removed and taken into foster care. So the caseworker identified some needs that this young lady, Valerie, had. And I got connected with Valerie because my grandma had an estate sale. And she had some items that were left over. And so I did a search on the Care Portal to look for if any of our clients and any of the state needs needed dishes. And I found one request, responded to it, got connected with the caseworker. And the caseworker said, why don't you just call Valerie and see if any of the things that you have would help her? And so I called Valerie up on the phone, and I literally walked through the estate sale, and Valerie had nothing. She had some government housing. She was trying to take care of her kids. She had a little bit of family support. But I asked Valerie, hey, do you need some dish towels? Do you need some towels? Do you need some dishes? Hey, I've even got a George Foreman grill here that didn't sell. Do you want it? The answer to every question was, Chris, I have nothing. And anything that you could provide would help me take care of my kids. And so the reality that the church has a wonderful opportunity to help the Valeries of the world be successful and be reconciled with their kids, because no kids want to leave their family. No kids want to leave their mom and dad. And actually, kids probably have more grace for their mom and dad than often we in the church do. And so the opportunity to help Valerie be successful was as simple as taking some things that we probably would have maybe thrown away or donated, driving 7 minutes from my home and meeting Valerie to serve her.
Mm.
That story happens over and over again in our community. And so much so that, you know, sometimes it's these little interactions that are starting friendships. And one of those friendships is Shelly Hooker in Oklahoma City. Shelly is one of our point people on Care Portal. And she met a client. One of the caseworkers connected her to a client that needed a bus pass. And that bus pass turned into a friendship. And it's really hard to quantify a friendship to say, well, how good of a friendship is this? But Shelly actually invited this client that she met through a bus pass to her daughter's wedding because this individual has become so close
wow.
to their family. And how do you quantify how much that friendship is going to make a difference in that lady's life?
Mm.
And then secondly, I think Shelly would testify on how much of a difference it's made in her life. And so we see families restored, reconciled. We see children foster placements that, you know, maybe the situation got overwhelming and they couldn't meet all the needs. And the church has come in to help those foster families keep those children in their homes so they didn't have to go through another placement.
Mm.
You know, yesterday there was three or four of those requests that got met by the local church. You know, and it just happens on the Care Portal. It's the church being the local church, partnering with the state, and it's beautiful stories every day.
Yeah, I love that. And I've spoken in dozens of local churches here in New York, and I often get asked, you know, what do we do next? How do we do this? And I always offer suggestions and resources, but I usually feel like I just want to hand them, you know, a box and say, here, open this, do this, you know, and Care Portal is that box. It is the answer to that question to a church. You know, a church can ask, what do I do? What do we do? You can become a Care Portal volunteer church. And Justice for Orphans has partnered with the GO Project to implement Care Portal here in New York. We want to do what you and 111 Project are doing in Oklahoma. We want to have that impact here in New York with children and families. So, Chris, as we wrap up, we just have probably 30 seconds. If you could just, you know, give us a takeaway from the conversation today. What do you want our listeners to hear?
Yeah, I mean, one thing, action step, I would encourage them just to go to careportal.org and check out the map that's on the Care Portal. It shows every request that's live in the entire country, and I'd love to see some little red dot requests up there in New York with you guys.
Yeah.
But you can actually see the requests, click on them, look at the churches that are connected, and we would love to see your church on the Care Portal network. We would love to see you advocating for children and families. And I just want to encourage the church, as we opened up with Hebrews, don't forget about showing hospitality. Don't forget about serving and helping those in need. We're all so busy, but we all can make a significant difference if we just make ourselves available to the Holy Spirit and the work that He's doing and taking advantage of the opportunities that are all in our backyard.
Love it. Thank you so much, Chris, for all you and 111 Project are doing there in Oklahoma. And thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you so much for your time, and excited to see what God's going to do through you and your community.
Oh, thank you. Now, our listeners can learn more about 111 Project by going to their website, 111project.org. And as Chris mentioned, you can learn more about Care Portal by going to careportal.org. And we would love to hear from you if your New York church would be interested in becoming a Care Portal volunteer church to meet the local needs of children and families right here in your community. As Justice for Orphans moves forward and implementing Care Portal here in the Capital Region, we need your church involved. So contact us at justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.